Keys. So it's 11:59 right now, and if you pop over to khum.com, you'll see a picture of the gentleman that you are about to meet. And let's bring him up right now. He just called, so we didn't do any pregame or anything. We just got him straight in here. Steven, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. You are live on the radio in Humboldt County. Can we use your last name, or do you care?
I don't care at all.
Steven Schaefer.
Yes, that's it.
So where are you speaking to us from?
I'm in Austin, Texas.
And is that where you're... Are you from Austin?
No, but this was one of the places I visited, and I decided to come back here and live here.
So for people who missed it, you can see this over at khum.com. You lived for 2 years, basically, some would say a jaunty hobo lifestyle. Others would say you're homeless. Like, there's a huge spectrum. Where do you see yourself on that spectrum? Like, as just a traveler?
I see it as a traveler. It was a bit of a social experiment, and it was a good way for me to see what the world was like. But I think travel is the best one, but I don't care. A hitchhiker works too.
Now, how much time did you spend in Humboldt County?
I spent, I'd say, about 2 or 3 weeks, somewhere like there.
And how did you, like, it says, actually, why don't you tell that story of how you kind of got to Humboldt? Because that's kind of hilarious and also a little skeevy. Not on you, but the guy that you were with who you came here with.
Sure. I had actually been in Arcata for a couple of days at that point, and then I left to go up north. I went to Trinidad, just hung out at the beaches up there, and then went back down south. I had gotten a ride from a guy who... At first, he seemed pretty normal, and then a couple minutes into it, he started saying that he was on the run from the police from Washington State, and that he was going to have to drive extremely fast, and he proceeded to drive way too fast. Then he said we might have to run off into the side of the road, and if the car flipped, we should hop the fence and meet somewhere. And then he drove us back to, I don't remember the name, it was a town right outside of Arcata, where he said he was going to ditch his car and then hide in Arcata, out in open public. And when I went back there, it was a few days later that I started to see him in the square, just hanging out with a blanket wrapped around his body. And he was screaming screamo music at the top of his lungs pretty much constantly. And it was very strange. Everybody thought he was crazy, but he would give me these looks every once in a while, just like, you know what I'm doing. It's very, very strange.
So you live this kind of Kerouac-y lifestyle. You know, we'll use the word. By the way, do you find the word hobo offensive or pejorative?
I don't care if you call me Sue. I don't really care.
All right. Well, let's go with hobo for this interview. So why Humboldt? Why Arcata? Like, we are kind of hard to get to, and there's no big population center. It's not like L.A. or New York. Why here?
Well, as far as I was in San Francisco. The way I heard of it, I was leaving town. I was just planning on going north anyway. And some random guy just started talking to some random guy. And he was like, well, you should definitely check out Arcata. And I had never heard of it before. And so I just thought, okay, I'll go check it out. And I found out the Redwoods were right next to it. And I wanted to see the Redwoods as well. So I decided to just go up there. I had heard a good bit about Humboldt County, but at that point, I didn't even know Arcata was in Humboldt County. And, go ahead.
Oh, well, no, okay, finish your thought.
No, it's just, I really hadn't heard much about Arcata. I'd heard little bits and pieces of Humboldt was the place to go as far as this kind of hitchhiking travel type lifestyle went.
So,
several people.
So you described it as a hitchhiking and traveling lifestyle, and that's what brought you here. It also took you to Honolulu and across the country. Was this brought on by like an existential crisis, or is it, as you said earlier, just you wanted to see the world?
I would say a little bit of both. I wasn't happy at the time with my home life and family and friends at the time, and wanted to make an extremely drastic change. But it was also, I wanted to do it. It wasn't like made an extremely drastic change into something bad. It was something that I legitimately really wanted to do and got a lot of joy out of and learned a whole lot out of, as you can imagine. Being able to go out there and, you know, live what most people would consider like the lowest, not the lowest of the low, but pretty far down there, and not have a lot of resources that people consider necessary is a pretty helpful thing to do for a small amount of time.
Now, we should point out, and by the way, if you're just tuning in, this is Stephen Schaefer. He lived on the road, hitchhiking, no money, no ID, no phone, no friends, no family, just a traveling spirit. Who are often attracted to this area. You're back on your feet, though, after some trying. You're working again. You've got an apartment, that whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Things are going very well.
So you emerged from this, and in your Reddit AMA, you say that it was probably the hardest part of coming out of this. Are you still there, Stephen?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay. First, I thought I heard the line go. Okay. The people that you met, particularly in Arcata on the square, the plaza, what were they like?
Oh, there's all kinds. Oh, especially in Arcata. I'm sure your listeners know, there's all kinds. I mean, I had conversations with just people you would consider regular folks and people touring around, and then, you know, crackheads and people, you know, who have completely messed up lives that somehow wound up there. Then everything in between, like lots of pretty regular folks who are doing this travel thing temporarily. Lots of full-time travelers, lots of like what I would really call hobos, people who are doing that like as a permanent lifestyle choice. And then all sorts, you know, people who are really into the rainbow gatherings and people who are trimmers, and, you know, marijuana, you know, marijuana trimming and farming and all that kind of stuff. And it's all sorts of people. It really went all over the spectrum.
So how much money, again, I know that this is a 2-year trip that you did and you were in, you know, Humboldt for 2 or 3 weeks, but like, how did you get money when you were here, and how did you spend money while you were here, if you did any of that at all?
Most of my trip, I didn't have money. And Arcata was like that. I didn't really make any money in Arcata that I can think of. The way I sustained myself was tourists oftentimes, and I did this several times in different tourist towns, oftentimes walk around with leftovers, and I just ask them, tell them what I'm doing, say I'm a traveler and blah, 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 and ask them nicely for their food. And obviously you get a lot of no's, but a lot of people will say yes. And that was the main way to sustain oneself. You really don't need money to get food necessarily.
Now, so when you wound up on the front page of Reddit, which again, some people, it's not a big deal if you do not know what Reddit is, but the site itself, it's got more hits than Huffington Post. Like, it is a highly trafficked site, and it got a lot of attention. That's where we saw you. And then when we saw that you were talking about Arcata a bunch, like, it just, it really piqued our attention because we're really interested in us. But the comments on our articles about your story, there's a whole range. Did you get a chance to look at any of those?
Yeah, I saw a little bit just when the article had just been posted.
Yeah, here's one that says, and they're talking about you, like you are a living, breathing, three-dimensional human being. And this is somebody anonymously saying, quote, "These little punks are parasites. Use up the resources set aside for the mentally ill and addicted homeless." And I wonder, like, first of all, I don't know if anybody said that to your face when you were here. Did anybody say that to you?
Not that I can recall in Arcata, but I have very rarely a couple people who expressed those quote-unquote concerns.
Yeah, another commenter here used the term hobophobia. Did you experience that, like, on the regular? You know, what was that like?
Only the No Effects song. Like, I mean, for the most part, very little, but, you know, every once in a while you get somebody who, you know, I get it. There's lots of these hitchhiking guys that are stealing from people and addicted to drugs and being total dicks when asking for money and just being jerks, littering public places and smelling really bad all the time and looking really awful and just being rude. I get it that sucks. But that's not particularly what I was doing, and that's not what a good amount of people are doing. But there are some bad apples that really ruin the reputation for everybody, and I don't like that either. But I do think there is an important difference between people who are stealing and people who are asking nicely for resources that they can pay forward later, and that there is reason to believe that they will pay it forward later. And that might seem like a cop-out, and I'm sure the people who make those posts might have these opinions that they're never going to go away no matter what I say, but I think there's a big difference between people who are never going to go do anything and just going to suck off the system their whole lives, and people who are temporarily trying to, you know, go see the world in a way they wouldn't be able to because of random birth situations. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And this is why I'm so glad that you could talk to us, because, you know, I think a lot of people in Humboldt are really tired of the transient community. And there's a sense that there's an otherization, if that makes sense. Like, they are in this huge class of people that I'm going to consider homeless, and I'm not going to think about them as actual people. I'm not going to put the sort of emotional effort into empathizing with these other human beings, whatever their situation's in. Now, you entered into this world voluntarily, and you were able to come out of the world voluntarily, and you said that, you know, you see a difference between sort of like being on welfare and sucking off the system. And then you said that you would try to pay it forward once you came out of that lifestyle. Have you been able to do that? And are you planning on that?
Yeah, I've so far I've hosted one traveler at my home. Putting out this information is a way to pay it forward. I intend to, anytime I meet somebody who seems like they're going out and trying to get an education, I'm going to help them in any way I can. It is, you know, you don't see nearly as many, at least here in Austin, you don't see nearly as many transient folks as you would in Arcata. So that does have something to do with it. But I think anybody I meet who's out there traveling, trying to get an education, I want to help them as much as possible, because there's a lot of people throughout history who have done things like this, who have turned out to be really great, helpful people that I think we would miss if they hadn't done this. And now, it seems to be go ahead.
Oh, no, you first, please. I'm sorry.
It just seems to be something that's helpful for some people, like George Orwell. There's the obvious ones, Jack Kerouac, and there's even Colonel Sanders. You know, there's all sorts of people who have gone on to make great art or great things, you know, and it's not something that's necessarily abusive, if that makes sense.
Colonel Sanders was a hobo?
He roamed around the country. He roamed around the country trying to get his fried chicken. That's the best sentence I've ever heard. That's the best question I've ever got in my life. He did something similar where he traveled around, with not many resources, just going from place to place, just trying to get his 11 herbs and spices sold to some restaurant. And when he first opened KFC, he had a clause written into it. And this isn't true. This is what I've heard. But he had a clause written that if anybody came in hungry asking for food, that he would give out, that they would give them a free meal. Of course, that was taken advantage of, which is why they don't have that anymore.
This is also true. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Stephen Schaefer. He traveled, hitchhiked around the country and got apparently on a plane and flew to Honolulu with no money, no wallet, no keys, no friends, no family, just solo. Now, you had listed a bunch of people who have done this thing, and that is all fine and good, but also you know who Alexander Supertramp is. Right. And
it didn't turn out so good for him.
It did not. Yeah. This is the guy from Into the Wild, Christopher McCandless, who again was on sort of an existential journey to live free. When you were doing this, did you see yourself as somebody who is not, for instance, like when I drive by people pushing carts, one of the things I think about is like, I'm the one polluting the air right now and they are not. And I don't quite know like how that person would view it. They're like, yeah, man, I got no carbon footprint pushing this cart around. Like, did you see yourself as like an environmental protagonist?
I have never really been that interested in environmental issues, and that's just a personal thing. I haven't spent much time studying it. I haven't spent much time really learning about it, so it's not really my area of expertise. No, I didn't, but I can understand that argument.
What are you interested in?
Oh, the main thing is personal freedom. The main thing is trying to live as happy and as free a lifestyle as possible, and that's. Hitchhiking definitely helped with that to some extent.
Let's bring it back to Arcata. Where do you sleep if you're on the streets in Arcata?
Oh, I slept in the woods. I slept in the Redwoods.
Like up to Redwood Park?
Yep.
Okay. And what was the scene like up there?
What was the scene like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, who did you run into? Like, were there local? Was there like a localism aspect to it where people were like, "This is my hollowed out tree stump. You got to go somewhere else."
No. I mean, there are camps probably still further in the woods, but my spot was just to myself. When I would go sleep there, I would never run into anybody who was like that. There were further camps, and I visited some at some point, but they were very friendly, all young people, so it wasn't a lot of also local. Not homeless people that were just camping out there for fun.
You know, up there in the forest, it is a real issue. Homeless encampments have, you know, been pretty devastating to certain parts of the Arcata, you know, the community forest up there, Redwood Park. Did you have any of this in your mind when you're up there? Like, did you try to clean up after yourself, or like, was that even a thing that people in the forest think about?
The other camp I went to was a little bit on the dirtier side. I don't know if they ended up cleaning it all up after I left, but with my areas, and this is the same everywhere I went, was that I just carry any garbage I take in with me. I don't leave anything out. I mean, I'm sure every once in a while something falls out, but I don't have much garbage with me. I don't tend to carry garbage. So it wasn't, trash wasn't an issue. I didn't like have a campfire or food up there or anything. So I just wouldn't, keep garbage out.
So when you were living in the woods in Arcata, and so you wake up, you know, when you do, and then you walk to town, I guess, what, like, take us through a day when you're living, on the streets in Arcata.
Yeah, I wake up, do morning thinking, then walk down to town, talk to people, either read, write. It depends on what I felt like. I had played some music at the time, and ask for food, and then eventually go to sleep.
Is it hard to ask for food?
It was at first. It's hard. So sometimes people. And I understand, because it's not a usual question, and I'm sure a lot of the times that a person does get asked this question, it's not... I understand the assumptions of drug addicts and permanent leechers, but it's hard, because sometimes when you do ask, people just automatically assume you're in one of those two categories. And I totally get it, and I do the same thing now. So I there's no judgments there whatsoever. It would be stupid of me to say that people shouldn't do that, because that's completely natural. And I do the exact same thing, and I did the exact same thing then. So I get that, but of course it's hard to get that look from the people. And you can't just explain it, you know, you can't just say, no, I'm not a crackhead, you know.
No, people. Trust me, I'm just a traveler. Like, did you have to differentiate yourself from, you know, the pool of homeless people in any way to anybody?
Sometimes, but I think my manner of speech is not like, hey, give me some change, or, you know, nothing like that. And I'm not, I look relatively clean cut, and you know, I never got myself to that, like, awful, dirty state that you see some folks in. And, you know, I don't, I'm not, like, yelling at people and that kind of thing. So I think most people could tell that I wasn't...
You weren't a threat, at least.
Yeah, I at least wasn't a threat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, you can't really, you never can tell. You had said something when you wake up in the, you know, in Redwood Park, Arcata Community Forest, when you wake up there, what you said was, you know, you wake up, you know, you wash your face, you wash your hands, do your morning thinking, then go to town, ask for food. And I was like, wait, morning thinking? Is that a chore? Like, what's morning thinking? And should we be
doing that?
It's
like Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, it's like Winnie the Pooh when he has to sit down and think. No, when you don't have TV out there, you don't have video games, you don't have internet out there, so you get like you get really into thinking. You know, you get really into brain stuff, and you just spend a lot more time sitting and thinking.
I could talk to you for hours, for real, because this sounds like a crazy adventure that you went on for these 2 years, and particularly the time in Arcata is of great interest. We don't have that much time. I do want to ask you a couple other things. As far as lower class goes, like you are, it would seem that you're in the upper lower class. Does that make sense? Like you had a degree of privilege and you had some sort of exit strategy from this life. Do you think that's a fair characterization?
Yeah. Yeah. And I have some like relatively decent, charismatic skills and intelligence level. I'm relatively conniving and, I definitely had some skills that I don't think, everybody would have in that, in a similar position.
Were you without the internet for those 2 years?
Every once in a while, I'd go to a library and a half hour, an hour Googling around, but for the vast majority, no.
Does your LinkedIn profile have relatively conniving as a job skill?
No, but my resume should, yeah.
So your time in Arcata, like, when did you realize it was time to leave?
Arcata?
Yeah.
It's a long story. Trouble with a girl and then deciding to just leave. I had gotten in a silly relationship and then I was kind of sick of that whole thing and just decided I wanted to leave.
You're like, I'm just gonna exit this whole town.
Yeah. At the time I was not staying anywhere for any longer than a month, you know, and so that just leaving wasn't as weird of a thing as it seems.
Wow.
from an outsider's perspective.
By the way, you did have girlfriends for this period, yeah?
Every once in a while.
Is that somebody on Reddit had asked you this already, like, were you getting laid? You're like, yeah, you know, it seems like certain aspects of life on the streets are very similar to certain aspects of life off the streets. Like, you can have girlfriend drama, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, I should clarify that I wouldn't say any of these folks were girlfriends. I would say that they were short-term, you know, you're both traveling. You know, and you're like, hey, let's spend some time together for a little while and then go our separate ways kind of thing. So I wouldn't say it's the same as a girlfriend-boyfriend relationship in any way.
Okay. So you left Arcata. Was it hard to get a ride out of town? Like, how long do you have to stand on Highway 101 with a thumb out?
Oh, no. I get my average pickup time is like 5 minutes.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's really easy. Everybody says it's hard. It's not hard at all.
Do you have any advice on how to hitchhike? Like, what's the best plan?
Yeah, look friendly, be relatively happy, maybe have a funny sign, and don't look like you're quite possibly an axe murderer or a thief.
You know, on a more grim note, the last time I talked to a sort of Arcata street dweller, that person is now currently on murder charges in New Jersey. Be careful. I'm not kidding. Seriously, guys.
No. I hopefully will not be on murder charges in New Jersey.
Or anywhere for Stephen Schaefer. or anywhere.
Okay, I guess.
Before we wrap it up, what's the big takeaway when somebody says, oh, wow, so you hitchhike, no wallet, no keys, no ID, no phone, no friends, no family. Like, what is your one big lesson from that?
I think a person should do whatever they can do and whatever they need to do to make their life as awesome as possible. And whatever that means to whatever person, they should definitely do it as soon as possible. Not take anybody's no for an answer.
That's fantastic. You know what? It's like you use different words, but pretty much all like the spiritual leaders of all of history kind of say that. Yeah, go be awesome. Go be awesome. I guess where would we want to leave this? Re-entry into society. So you are now, you've been on the road for almost 2 years. You're kind of scruffy. You haven't been bathing regularly. You don't have a phone. You don't have ID. How do you leave that world?
You shave.
Okay.
You shave. You go to Goodwill. You buy some new clothes. You get a job as fast as possible. For me, I asked a friend that I had built up the relationship a bit more since I started traveling, but I had talked to a few times beforehand if I could stay on this couch in San Francisco for a week. And then I got a job as fast as possible, shaved myself up, cleaned myself up, took more showers than I did regularly, ate more, and then just worked my ass off for a while, you know, and worked. And took any opportunity that I could to just build myself up. And, you know, it was several months of very hard work. And then now I'm pretty much, as far as job goes, at a pretty normal place.
So when you read these stories about like homeless people or folks who are seriously down on their luck, being unable to reenter the workforce, what goes through your mind?
It depends on the person. Some people have mental issues that make it very hard. That I can't relate to. So I say it sounds like it's awful. There's some people. There is a minority. I don't know what the number is, but there are definitely some people who use that as an excuse. Just like in anything you do, there's people who use that as an excuse. But there are definitely people who legitimately are having an extremely hard time, and it really depends on the person. If it's a younger person and they don't seem incapacitated in any way, I usually in my head call bullshit.
Right.
But but that's not always the case, and I want to be open to that. But a lot of times, I think it's just kind of a thing that people say, just like people say, "Well, I can't ask for a raise because my boss will yell at me or whatever." People say they can't do anything for just about everything you can imagine. So it might be, for me, I always just said I didn't want a job at that point, you know?
Right.
And I was okay with that. And now I do want a job, so it's very, very different.
So
I think it's okay for people to not want a job, to not want to do anything. And that's okay.
Wow. That is very, very... First of all, I have never talked to a transient longer than 1 minute. So this has been very illuminating. But that's where we got to leave it. You guys can read about Steven, who is on Reddit, username We Are Doctors. His AMA was front page. Go ahead.
I also wanted to say that if people are interested, I'm putting together a big website because this has gotten so much attention on www.anywhereblog.net. Anywhere is in anywhere.
Well, be in touch, and if you're back in town, certainly stop by Cahum. We'd love to. At least I want to look at your iPod and see what's in there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
All right.
Sure. A lot of Flume and Django Reinhardt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Django.
Hey, Gypsy Jazz.
Well, I hear that we're supposed to call it Roma Jazz now because Gypsy's racist. So, I don't know. Make a note. Dude, Stephen Schaefer, thank you very much for your time, and thanks for talking to us from Austin, man. Good luck.
Hey, thank you, Mike. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. All right. Stephen Schaefer, internet superstar, sometime arcade hobo. It's K-Hum Radio.
Hey, hon.
Hey, guess what I found out today?
I'm all ears.
My windshield wiper fluid ran out, so I stopped by Premier Oil Change for a free top off.
Yeah.